if Tom was here, he'd go, well, hello there, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. I'm Phil Parr, sitting in for the vacationing Tom Houston. Tom is a little under the weather, to say the least, and we'll tell you more about that later. He's not feeling well, and he said he may sneak by after a while, but he's not here for the show. Had a doctor's appointment, so that knocked him out of coming and doing the... I said, what the hell, you think a doctor's appointment is more important than the Blind Handyman Show? What's your problem, you know?
What a deal.
And so, anyway, so he's not here, but we do have in his place, well, not in his place, but let's introduce Don Shaw. Don is with us today, as usual.
Hi there, everyone. How's everything today, Mr. Phil?
We should mention that Don Patterson is also AWOL. He had a doctor's appointment. You know, we'll be doing this from a nursing home someday, folks. It'll be bedpans and fat nurses, and that'll be it. You know, hypodermics in your arm. Yeah. And that guy you hear laughing in the background all the way from Houston, Texas, is the one and only Dale Campbell. Sir, how are you?
Doing fine. That's good. I can just see it. Everybody will be, hey, we'll start having to do the cooking show in the blender, you know.
Well,
everybody will be missing their teeth.
Actually, really? You won't have to because you're a whole lot younger than the rest of us
old guys.
But
yeah, y'all don't make me mad now.
Hide my teeth. Is that right?
The old 90-year-old went into the doctor, you know, and the doctor was giving him his exam, and the old guy goes, you know, I got me an 18-year-old wife at home. She's pregnant.
Wow.
And what do you think about that? And the old doctor thought for a second. He goes, well, you know, I had a friend of mine, old guy, used to go hunting. And one time he went out and forgot his gun and took an umbrella. But he saw a beaver on a log and pulled his gun out and shot the beaver.
Yeah.
The beaver fell over dead. You know, what do you think happened? And the old guy thought for a minute. He goes, you know, I think somebody else shot that beaver. The doctor goes, yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's be what I think. Well, I always tell them that when I was younger, of course, I'm a musician, as everybody knows, and I played a lot of music, a lot of clubs. I took a lot of drugs and did a lot of drinking when I was a kid. And now I can get the same feeling by just standing up fast.
What a deal, man.
So, yeah.
It's a whole lot cheaper, isn't it?
It's a whole lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Who needs it? Anyway, we saw you on television on Channel 11 here a couple weeks ago. Tell us about all that.
Oh, I tell you, what a fiasco. Candace and I went into a Mexican restaurant here locally and walked in and got seated. And next thing I know, there was a presence next to us. I was like, two margaritas, please. And the guy tells Candace, you have to leave. You have to leave or take the dog outside. And I'm like, what? Because we were there with Kelsey, my guide dog, and he was laying down just as he's trained to do under the table, behaving. And this gentleman again told Candace, my wife, you have to take the dog outside or leave.
Yeah.
And Candace was like, wait a second, this is a seeing eye dog. He's allowed in here. And the guy goes, no, somebody may not like it. You have to take the dog out. And Candace goes, well, you need to talk to my husband. At which point I said, yeah, federal law protects this animal. He is a working dog. Here, I'll get his ID card and show it to you.
Yeah.
This guy, folks, did not even... He'd even acknowledge me. He acted like I was a stump in the road.
Yeah.
Just turned and totally walked away and ignored us. So, next thing I know, Candace and I are sitting there. What do you think we ought to do? You want to raise some cane and make them service or not? And she goes, you know, there's enough restaurants around here. I don't think we need to force them to accept our money.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
So we got up, and on the way out, of course, we stopped and, you know, asked the hostess for the owner's name, and then Candace pointed at the guy. Now, I need that guy's name also, and she handed us another card. He was an owner of the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
So not only was it just not a manager or somebody like that, I mean, this was an owner of the doggone restaurant.
The owner, huh?
And next thing, one thing led to another. We left and went and found some place else to service the margaritas and called the police, and they were more than willing to help us out, which was really, that was great. I was kind of apprehensive about what kind of response we were going to get from them. But they were very helpful. And in fact, the officer researched it and found out in the state of Texas, not only is it a civil offense, it's also a criminal offense under a human resource code law, something or other.
A criminal.
Which I did not understand. So not only is this guy going to be facing, you know, some heavy-duty charges civilly, but he's also going to be facing some stuff criminally.
But he pleaded ignorance of the law. He said he didn't realize it.
Yes, his deal was he blamed it on not being able to speak English well enough. After the news ambushed him, or so to speak, just showed up at his restaurant. They called me, in fact, to apologize.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't call, but his daughter did, who was one of the hostesses. And she was saying that, well, you know, my dad doesn't speak good English. And I'm like, well, you know, he spoke English well enough to tell us to get out.
Yeah.
And I go, and beside the point, he ignored me. He acted as if, you know, I mean, that was the part that was really frustrating and angering me, but was the fact that he just totally ignored me, and I had no way to chase him down, go find him, go talk to him, or anything. So I had no idea where he was. He just walked away and basically disappeared into the darkness, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it was a mess. So anyway, we filed charges with the police, and they're investigating, and we have mailed a letter to them indicating our intentions, and we're going to file with the Justice Department and just basically stand up and say this is unacceptable. And I mean, this is the United States of America in 2004, people. The ADA has been around for a long time, and this type of stuff has got to stop.
Yeah.
You know, and it's wild. We sent emails out to some friends locally and, you know, our family members, and they forwarded them on to other people, and that got forwarded it on. And as it was yesterday, I was out with my father-in-law eating lunch, and some guys came up to us at the restaurant. Are y'all the ones that got kicked out of that restaurant? I was like, yeah. You know,
really?
We're the ones that got kicked out. And he goes, man, you know what? I've got a niece that's blind, and we will never eat there again. I had no idea where these guys, who they were, where they came from, or anything, but somehow or another, they had been sent that email as well.
Or they had seen you on TV, you
on
think?
TV.
They specifically, this guy said that he received an email about us.
I'll be damned.
But I've had, in fact, at the grocery store today, picking up some more things for the cooking show. You know, I had somebody that saw us on the, you know, on the news and asked about it.
Word is getting around.
You know, and that's comforting, and it's refreshing to see the support that we're getting.
Well, what if the guy offers you free Mexican food for the rest of your life? How would that be?
I don't think I'm going to go back there. Unless he offers it to me and all my friends.
He's got
then, folks, we'll start having some cooking shows.
This is a guy.
Yeah.
He has. You say he has two Mexican restaurants?
Yeah, he's got two restaurants. One, we're kind of, you know, down here in the Clear Lake area on the southwest or southeast side of town.
Yeah.
And he's got another one down on the southwest side of town.
Okay. Well,
so he does have. I mean, they do have two restaurants, and you know, and him pleading just, well, I didn't know. I mean, it wasn't only the fact that he didn't know; he didn't even want to know.
Well, what would be?
We tried to tell him.
What sort of show him? What sort of settlement would you accept? I mean, what do you want from him?
You know, I think I'm going to let. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, getting up and having to walk out of that restaurant.
Yeah.
Was bad enough for me.
Yeah.
For Candace, who could see everybody staring at us.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like we were vagrants, or like, you know, I don't know. I mean, it was, God, it was the most humiliating and embarrassing situation I've ever been in. And then afterwards, I felt like less than a person. It was really weird how that affected me. But for the next two or three days, I don't know if it brought back old feelings of what, helplessness. You know, being visually impaired and being helpless.
Yeah, the same feeling.
Do anything about it.
The same feeling that you had when you first lost your eyesight and thought.
Yes.
That this
I found myself, getting up in the morning at 8 o'clock, and you know, or a little actually earlier, making coffee and seeing the Candace and Skylar off, and then going back to bed and sleeping all day.
Well,
and
I
getting
do.
Up before they came home, cooking dinner, and then going back to bed. And, I mean, I was sleeping probably 18 hours a day.
Well,
really
I do that, and nobody threw me out of a restaurant.
Dang.
What a deal.
Well, see, when you carry that cane with you, you got a weapon. You're armed.
Keep us abreast of what happened. I guess you're on both our lists, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm on both the Blind Like Me list and the Handyman list.
The Blind Like Me list has gone nuts, hasn't it?
It's gone crazy.
Booming.
It has.
I tell you what I end up doing, y'all. I end up scanning through all the messages first and looking for a post from old John Justice.
From John Justice?
You know, in that Patty novel, I'm hooked.
The story.
That we need to make sure that never ends.
That was a good, kind of like a weekly radio show. You know, it is like an ongoing saga at this point.
It is.
Well,
you know,
I
tell you, for everybody that's listening and reading, you know, that's not a member of the Blind Like Me list, join it. It's worth it just to not only to communicate with all the other great members on the list, but also to read John's book.
I'll second that. That sounds like a deal. And, yeah, if for the folks on the cooking in the dark list, if y'all want to get off topic sometimes and talk about things, and come on over and join the Blind Like Me list. It's a real laid-back, loose list. If you want to join, go and just type a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Yes, sir.
That'll patch you right in and get you hooked up with all the good stuff that's going
on. That'll get you hooked up. This list, the Blind Like Me list, is mostly just BS. I mean, we just, you know, there's a lot of that. A lot of attempts, poor attempts, I must add, at humor on the list. That Phil Parr writes, tries to write something
funny. Regardless of what our family members think about our post, right?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. But this is, you know, these are people we don't know, and so you can say anything. The language is clean, by and large. There's a few hells and dams and things like that, but it's, by and large, a clean list. And we just talk about all kinds of things. And there is, regardless of what Boop says, occasionally some decent information about blindness and blindness-related things.
Yeah, there's some good information that gets passed along on that list.
I think so.
Yeah, it's a great list for everybody. And, you know, we do have a lot of members that are on both the cooking list and the Blind Like Me list.
Yeah, there sure is.
In fact, one of our members that's on all three lists, you know, old Bob Chili Blind Man.
Yeah, Chili Blind Man.
He joined the cooking list. Now he's kind of basically our resident baker.
Man, that guy.
Cooking in the dark list.
That guy does cook some, bake some neat stuff, huh?
He does some great stuff. In fact, we're doing one of his recipes was for just a bread that he was making. He needed some buns, you know, some hoagie buns, so he just whipped up some buns. Baked them right up, and that's one of the things that we're going to be doing on the show today.
All right, if anybody tunes in and thinks that they have, they're not listening to the right thing, this is the Blind Handyman Show.
Yeah.
But we're talking about off topic. We're a little off topic today. We're talking about all kinds of things. Dale has a list. Give us the list of your address, your Cooking in the Dark list.
Cooking in the Dark is at, to subscribe, go to cooking, send a blank email to cookingindhedark-subscribe@acbradio.org.
Okay.
And to post, and of course, it's just cookingindhedark@acbradio.org.
Org.
And you talk about recipes and ways to cook things and things that...
Hints back and forth, recipes. We've had some folks post some excerpts out of, you know, how to do box directions on different products and things.
That could be handy.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a great little list for all kinds of cooking tips and hints. If somebody needs a recipe for something, hey, you know, so-and-so used to have, you know, a recipe for mac and cheese. Does anybody have one? And sure, it's amazing how many people post stuff, you know, just helping each other out.
Well, and then a blind person, you measure things differently. You learn to do kitchen things different than a sight person does.
Because you sure do. You learn different techniques, different hints, different little tips for preparing and cooking. Well, heck, just even measuring out, you know, a liquid, instead of measuring a teaspoon or a tablespoon of liquid, you know, one of the tips that came through the list was to use a syringe. And, heck, Phil, you even said that you use that for your brandy and your coffee.
I use it for brandy and chocolate. That's my wintertime drink is brandy and hot chocolate. And so
that is so simple. It's so easy. And
sure it is.
No spills, no muss, no fuss.
Well,
and heck, the syringes you can pick up free at your local pharmacy.
You figure out things like I do oatmeal every morning, and I have a cup that has just the right amount of water to do one package of instant oatmeal. And I keep that cup hanging in a certain place. God help anybody that moves it. And so when you're blind, that's sort of thing you have to do. They talk about things like that. And so if you're you want to cook, this would be a good thing for you to go
great
look
list.
At.
And we've got people from around the world. We've got members from England, from Australia, from New Zealand. We've got a couple members. Immigrant is one of our code name members that is from Russia.
Uh-huh.
We've got another lady that is from Lithuania that posts sometimes. You know, Canada. I mean, we're represented all over the place.
Yeah,
and there's
everywhere.
People that don't know how to boil water, and there's people that are chefs like Henry, you know, used to own his own restaurant.
Uh-huh.
So the information is just wonderful and incredible. And, you know, most of the recipes that we do on the Cooking in the Dark show come from that list.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a Blind Like Me with Henry. I plan to do that. I get back. Let's speaking of cooking in the dark, let's take a break, and we'll get to cooking in just a minute. More of the Blind Like Me show. Stand by.
Right.
times in new places. On streaming audio at the For the People website. From Houston's Taping for the Blind on the Houston Radio Reading Service. From the In Touch Radio Reading Service. And on radio reading services all across the nation. And, of course, at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me at new times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman. Available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs. And so we formed this, started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and as kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love. Proving it can be done by running the board here by myself.
The old-fashioned way. Huh?
Without Tom Houston, running it off CDs. And Tom is not here and Don is not here, but Dale is here. So that kind of takes
Dale's
up the
here.
Slack. Dale's taking the place of two people today.
So how much did it cost for them to get hall passes to miss the shows, y'all?
Well, it wasn't much. They have to bring the beer next week, I think.
All right.
What a deal.
What a deal.
I need to find a ride then.
You do?
Yeah.
Hey, now, are you guys going to be around next week, or are you going to be on the high seas?
We're leaving on the cruise Sunday. We're going to drive to New Orleans Saturday and spend the night in New Orleans, us and Don and Emily and the Conleys. I think we're the only ones coming in on Saturday. And then Sunday, we get on the big boat. We're on there 7 days till the following Sunday morning. So, you think about the great thing about a cruise is when you, if you're in a foreign city and you decide to where you're going to go eat, you have to go get the car, get it out of valet parking, figure out where the restaurant is, what they serve, figure out where to eat. On a ship, you don't have to do that. You just, where you're going to eat. There's no question about where you're going to eat.
Walk down to the poop deck and have at it, huh?
That is right. Let's do a little cooking in the dark. What are you going to do today, sir?
Cooking.
All right, go
today
ahead.
Today we have got, we're doing a chicken portobello lasagna.
All right.
We're also going to do some homemade rolls, clover rolls. Add with that a little salad. And then the dessert is a real simple sautéed bananas in a praline sauce.
Okay.
So let me catch everybody up to where I'm at. What I've done is, for the bread, so simple. It was 1 cup of warm water. Okay. And in this cup of warm water, you want to add 1 package of yeast. And I use Fleshman's quick yeast or active yeast. Okay. And 1 teaspoon of sugar. Now, when that starts to fizz, you put it all in. I put it in a jar. And I put the lid on the jar, just shook it up a little bit, and took the lid off and just let it sit. You'll start hearing it starting to fizz, kind of like, a soda, like Coca-Cola, something like that in a can.
Really? Uh-huh.
When it starts to fizz, you want to add it to 3 cups of flour, 1 tablespoon of sugar, and 1 teaspoon of salt, and 2 tablespoons of olive oil. Now, to that base, I also added a teaspoon of oregano,
uh-huh,
a teaspoon of thyme, and a teaspoon of parsley flakes. and then a few shakes of garlic powder, just to give the bread a little bit of a flavor. As you mix this all together, it'll turn into a nice, just a big ball, big flour ball. And you'll want to, after it reaches that point, after it gets all mixed together, and you'll feel it, it's just like a big batter ball.
Uh-huh.
Put it in a bowl and set it in a warm spot in your kitchen, be it on top of the stove, next to the, you know, the oven. If it's cold out in some places, go ahead and just turn the light on in your oven and set it in there and let it rise.
Okay.
You want to let it expand till it about doubles in size.
Good heavens. Okay.
And that'll take about 30, 40 minutes, something like that.
Wait a minute.
I went ahead and did that a little bit early.
Wait a minute.
So
you leave it as a ball? You don't do anything
to
it?
Yeah, just leave it as a ball in the bowl and let it go ahead and rise. After it rises and about doubles in size, you'll take it, punch it back down.
Okay.
And then that's when you'll do whatever you want to do with it. When I made this the last time, I made breadsticks out of it.
Okay.
Just peeled off pieces, rolled them out, set them on a pan, you know, on the cookie sheet.
Uh-huh. And
after you do that, you let them rise again until they reach about the size that you want, and then you bake them.
Hey, Dale.
Yes, sir.
When you get all these ingredients in the bowl, when you say mix now, are you talking about doing this by hand or?
Yeah, you can just do it by hand unless you have a mixer. Use the bread beaters on it.
Okay. The bread hook.
The big wide ones, the big open ones.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, this mixes up so quickly that you probably won't even need them. I used just a wooden spoon the first time. This last time, in fact, while we were talking earlier, I was mixing it up and I just used my hands.
Okay.
Just put my hands in, started mixing it all up, and it turns into like a biscuit dough.
Yeah,
it feels like you know, canned biscuits you take out of the fridge.
One thing people have to get used to. Anything you cook, you need to get your hands in it.
And you got to get your hands in it.
It's all right to stir things with
membership
your hands.
Has its privileges, you know. Doing that this way, being blind, it kind of gives everybody the big excuse to get your hands in it.
It's okay to put your hands in the.
That's right. So, for the lasagna, what I've also already done, well, you can hear me getting some plate dishes out here.
That's good.
I've boiled the lasagna noodles already. You want to get your water boiling in a nice big pot, and it's one box of lasagna noodles, the 16-ounce package, which has about 16 noodles in it.
Mm-hmm.
Boil them whole. Let them boil for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
And then take them off, drain the hot water. I used a double colander pot so that you were able just to take the inside colander out, set it in the other sink. I dumped the hot water out, replaced it with cold water. And we're about ready to start building our lasagna.
All right.
Now, you want to boil your noodles. There are some noodles that you don't have to boil that will soften as you bake them, but
I've heard about those.
That's a big deal.
And I wonder if those really work well or not.
You know, I don't know. I've heard a lot of people talk about them, but I haven't spoken to anybody that's ever used them.
It's actually used them.
You know, all these traditional folks, like, you know, grandma and mom, no, I'd never, you know, do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mama me at the little Italian joint.
But man,
she would never think of doing that.
But if they worked, that would be a deal, wouldn't it?
If they worked, that would be a nice little time saver for sure.
Yeah. It sure would.
Now, for the rest of this lasagna, y'all, while our bread dough's rising, what I used was 4 chicken breasts, and these were medium-sized to large chicken breasts, and I grilled them on the George Foreman. I cooked them through first. Then I dropped them in the old Hamilton, you know, the old food processor, and chopped them up. I put those in a skillet along with a red onion and mixed them up, heated them up a little bit, and then I added a half a jar of Ragu spaghetti sauce.
Okay.
Now, you can use your own, you know, spaghetti sauce if you want to make your own. If you want to use tomato sauce and mix up your own, that's fine. But I find a jar of Ragu is just as easy.
So I
poured in about a half a jar into that mixture.
Yeah.
Mixed it all up, and then I put it in a bowl and just put it off to the side.
And you fully cooked these chicken breasts?
Yes, fully cooked the chicken breasts all the way through.
7 minutes or so?
About 7 minutes.
Okay.
After that, like I said, I took them and dumped them in the in the food processor, chopped them all up.
Yeah.
Where they were kind of ground up, and then browned them, if you will, in the stove with a little spaghetti sauce and some red onion.
So you made ground chicken is what you did.
Basically, yeah, sure
yeah.
did.
I'll be done.
So if you want to, I mean, you can do the opposite, you know, and just buy some ground chicken already and brown
it. You could.
Or you could use hamburger meat.
And to me, it's just as easy to cook them all in one as it is to brown them separately.
You could use ground beef.
Yeah, you sure could.
I have that.
Ground beef, ground turkey.
Yeah.
Italian sausage.
Yeah.
Italian sausage. Ooh, that sounds really good, too.
That'd work.
Okay,
good.
So what we're going to do here, now also the portobellos, I used 4 portobello heads.
Okay.
And I did the same thing. I took them, put them in the food processor, chopped them up, put them in the skillet with some red onion and a couple cloves of garlic, sautéed those for a little bit, and then I covered them with the rest of the jar of spaghetti sauce and mixed that all up, and then took it out of the pan and put it in a bowl to just, you know, stuck those in the refrigerator waiting for the show to start.
What a deal.
All right.
I knew we wouldn't have time to do it all.
Yeah.
While we were on the air. Okay,
all
so
right.
Now what I've done is I've taken the 3 of the noodles, I've taken a little bit of another jar of spaghetti sauce, and just put some in the bottom of the pan, just so it kind of very, very lightly coats the bottom of the pan.
Okay.
And I took 3 of our lasagna noodles, laid those in the bottom of the pan, and basically, y'all, we're just going to start
layering,
building a lasagna.
All right.
In the bottom layer, I'm going to put in the...
ricotta cheese.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
And actually, instead of ricotta, I'm using cottage cheese.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
No.
Cottage cheese instead of ricotta.
I protest. I love ricotta cheese. Good Lord.
Well, you know, the gal that was helping me shop at the store couldn't find ricotta cheese.
Cottage cheese will work just as well.
My gal, my normal shopper lady, quit.
Oh,
didn't give me notice, didn't tell me, didn't ask for my approval or nothing. I went in there to go shopping yesterday, and she was gone.
And you got to have ricotta cheese, but cottage cheese will work just as well.
Cottage cheese works either or.
Cottage cheese
works just as well. I'm like you. I like ricotta cheese a lot better.
Yeah.
But in a pinch, the cottage cheese will work.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, so I put in a layer of the turkey, or of the chicken, the chicken and the onion mixture. We're going to add a little more spaghetti sauce over the top of that.
Okay.
And then we're going to add some mozzarella cheese.
All right.
But I haven't grated it because I was saving that for you, Mr. Shaw. I know you like to hear that food processor.
Like to hear that food processor wind up, man.
Are we ready? You going to do it?
Yeah, let me get it out here.
Right here on the air. He's going to grade that cheese. Pretty exciting,
you know,
folks, isn't it?
Food processors, we had a lady on the cooking list post about, she has a Cuisinart.
Yeah.
Processor, and that sounds like the bomb. It's got an opening on it big enough that will allow you to stick like a whole tomato or a whole onion in it. So
you
can slice a whole onion instead of having to cut it down and then slice it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Which would be so much simpler.
Okay, but does it have that thing on Shaw's like Shaw's has that pours
that you can pour out?
Yeah, that side chute.
Yes, she said it did have that feature as well.
Because
I tell you, I was kind of jealous at first, Mr. Shaw, when you got that one.
Yeah, that's the nice thing to have. That's a nice feature.
That is really nice. Don's food processor he just bought. It's a Hamilton Beach too, right?
It is. Uh huh.
Will allow you. It has an insert that you can put in it that will allow you when you chop when you slice or grate.
That's right.
It has a plate that fits under the blade that actually shoots it out a side chute into a bowl outside the food processor.
I got to have
a separate bowl. That's right.
Yeah, that is really nice.
Here we go. Go ahead.
So there's the cheese. What I bought was a 1-pound slab of it. So I had to slice it down to make it all fit through this little chute. But that's all there is to it. The grating, y'all, is just, man, so quick and simple.
Yeah.
There it is.
Well, you're gonna overdo it now.
There we go. 1 pound of cheese grated and ready.
Grated and ready.
It doesn't take long, does it?
No, with a food processor, it doesn't take long at all.
I like the idea, though.
That is definitely the way to go.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
We'll take this over here to where we're doing our construction work. And basically, these lasagnas, for anybody that's apprehensive about making one, very simple, very easy to do. It's just the process of putting your filling in and just layering as you go.
You just keep stacking.
Just keep stacking.
Like you would
stack. You run out of pan, doggone it.
Like you would stacked enchiladas or like you would,
Yes, I was just fixing to say.
Stacked enchiladas. I love stacking enchiladas.
Yeah, man.
We've done that. Now our next layer, and you just keep adding, keep pulling noodles out.
Mm-hmm.
And basically about 3 noodles will fit into a 13-by-9-inch pan.
Yeah.
And you can get about 3 noodles wide. And just keep on layering up. We'll get this layer of noodles in, and we will add a little more spaghetti sauce.
Oh, listen, by the way, while I've got you on the phone here, I wanted to mention to you that the rumor that my wife was defending the restaurant owner is not true.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard that.
It's funny. Trust me. You're supposed to laugh.
Okay.
It was a poor attempt at humor.
Well, you know, what's weird about that is we did have some people that actually did. I mean, other blind folks that did defend the restaurant owner.
Really?
And I just, well, anyway,
I'd like to talk to them. Where did you see that? On your list?
It was on the Seeing Eye list. This list, this email made it to about... made it to the Seeing Eye list. I believe it made it to the Guiding Eyes list. It made it to several lists that I don't even subscribe to.
And how many lists are you on, though?
I'm on our three lists, you know, the cooking list, the handyman list, and the
Blind Like Me list.
The Blind Like Me list. I also subscribe to the Seeing Eye list for guide dog users.
Uh-huh.
Every now and then we get a good little... you know, a good little guide dog tip or something comes up on there.
So you get 300-400 messages a day when you check your email?
Not really. Not too bad. Every now and then they get crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
But most of these lists are pretty low-key. Boy, it's certainly not like that old Jaws list.
Man, that Jaws list is unreal,
isn't it? That thing's out of control, isn't it?
Yeah, I tried that for a while, but there's just no way. You don't have time.
You spend more time deleting than you do reading.
Well, you'd think they would divide that into categories or something. I don't know how they would do it, but God almighty, it's
intense.
it's out of control.
Yeah.
Okay, our next layer I just added in here, the cottage cheese, a.k.a. ricotta cheese.
Ricotta cheese.
Yeah.
And then we're laying our next layer of noodles, and then we'll lay some more spaghetti sauce.
Okay.
And then we'll add our layer of...
chicken.
The portobello mushrooms.
Okay.
With the red onions.
All right.
And then we'll put a little more cheese and spaghetti sauce, and then work our way all the way to the top.
Keep layering.
When we get to the top, you just top it all off with another layer of noodles, and then cover that with spaghetti sauce and... any grated cheese that you have left over, pop it in about a 350-degree oven and let it bake for about 50 minutes.
Now, without a cover. Without a cover. Just about 50 minutes in the middle of the oven.
Yeah. Put it in the middle and let it bake. Now, you can throw some foil over the top of it if you want, but about the last 15 minutes, pull it out and take that foil on.
I'd probably put some foil on it and then stick it up by the broiler the last 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Let it crust.
Brown the top.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. The old bread. I'm going to have to do that bread.
Put this last layer on here, and we'll be good to go to move on to go and check the bread. I think it's ready to be punched down.
This is Candace's supper, right?
Yes, it is.
Good.
She was all excited about having this tonight.
So you kind of like doing this show a little later, don't you? It's actually better for you.
Yeah, I sure do. Sure
works
do. It allows me to, instead of having to cook twice, I can only cook once.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Use it as a double play.
All right,
our bread dough's rising up pretty nicely.
Yep.
All right.
I want to let it get a little bit bigger than it is. And what I'm going to do is once it rises and I punch it back down, which is basically just pushing it all in and beating it up a little bit, I'm going to pull it off and roll it into balls that are about, an inch to an inch and a half, about the size of golf balls. And I'm going to take three of those and put them in a greased muffin pan together and then let them rise again for about another 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And then when you bake them, they'll come out looking like clover leaves.
Really?
Really?
That'll be kind of our little treat for Skylar because she is a bread freak. She loves the bread.
Well, that'll hurt her later on in life.
Yeah, it will.
We're learning now
those carbohydrates. That's the thing, you know. Watch those carbs.
Bread will put that weight on. I'm a bread nut. Patterson and I are both bread nuts. I mean, I could eat cheese and bread and wine the rest of my life and be very happy. Be just very happy. Happy as a pig.
All right.
And I'd be big as the side of the house.
Let me get this lasagna put in the oven.
All right. And while you're putting that lasagna in the oven, there you go.
Stop that.
Lasagna is in, y'all.
Lasagna's in the oven.
350 degrees, and so let's see. Dinner will be ready. You can have some warmed up leftovers by the time y'all get here.
Yeah.
Well, while that lasagna's baking, what do you think about taking a short break here, Mr. Phil?
Got to take a little short break. Let me find the satellite.
Yeah, it's about that time.
All right.
Find the satellite. We'll bring that on. We've gotten vocals twice on this show, haven't we? Anyway, we're Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell, and Don Shaw is here with me, as he usually is. Tom Houston and Don Patterson are AWOL today. I don't know what their problem is. Well, actually, I do, but they'll be back maybe next week on the Blind Handyman Show, and we'll do more in just a minute.
It's been a long, long time. I kept this message for your love. Oh, yeah. But it seems I was never on time. Still I wanna get through to your boy.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want to a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Now, the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me can be heard at new times, in new places, on streaming audio at the For the People website, from Houston's Taping for the Blind on the Houston Radio Reading Service, from the In Touch Radio Reading Service, and on radio reading services all across the nation, and of course at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me at new times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman. Available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
If you've never seen, you probably have if you're blind, three blind folks stumbling along through a Thursday afternoon, you're seeing it now. It's Don Shaw, Dale Campbell, and Phil Parr, Cooking in the Dark and the Blind Handyman Show. What a combo deal.
What a combo.
It's like the three blind mice, huh?
Three blind mice. Here we are.
Stumbling. Coming on out.
How's the bread doing?
Everything is going great here. I wanted to just let everybody know that the lasagna, before I put it in the oven, I did put it on, I had it sitting on a cookie sheet.
Uh-huh.
At the cake pan, so if anything does boil over or spill over, because by the time you get done building this lasagna, it is going to be full. It'll be filled to the brim.
Yeah.
So just take it, and by putting it on a cookie sheet, that way if anything does cook over or, cook out, it won't go all over your oven. It'll
good
go
idea.
Onto that cookie sheet.
Yeah.
Save you a little bit of a mess and a fuss of having
that's
to clean it up.
That's a good idea.
Let me just say, too, and y'all may have talked about this already on the cooking list, but, you can buy a thing. Two of them come in a package. They're made out of foil, and they're just the right size for the bottom of an oven, depending on which direction you put them in, depending on which type of oven you have, whether it's built-in or the standalone stove oven. Anyway, they're cheap. You buy two of them in a set, put them in the bottom of the oven, and man, it's great if you do have a spill.
That's it. And that way, any spills or any fuss, instead of having to, man, you just replace those little dudes. And, yeah, they're like, what, a buck, buck and a half,
yeah,
something like that.
And so you would never have to clean the element? I mean, you never have to run the oven cleaner or what?
Never have to clean the bottom of the oven.
Never really have, uh-uh.
It's got little sides on it, maybe, what, a quarter of an inch high?
Yeah,
little sides.
Yeah, maybe a quarter of an inch high. Just
what
two
a deal.
Little, it's basically just little aluminum pans that you can put under there.
Well, wait a minute. It lays on top of the element.
Yeah, underneath the element.
Underneath the element.
Okay, underneath the element.
Yeah,
I got
you raise
point.
The element up and slide it underneath, so it actually kind of becomes the bottom.
Protect the floor of the
stove.
Oven.
So anything spills or runs over it, it just runs into that. And then kind of like the, you know, like when people put foil in their little bowls underneath their cooking elements on top of the stove.
Yeah, we do that, yeah.
Yeah, same thing. That
same
way just, you know,
deal.
Saves a little cleanup and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A little bit nicer.
Yeah.
And I'm all for saving work, man.
Heck yeah. Me too. I'm a lazy boy.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, for our, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to put together a little salad here.
All right.
And what I bought for the salad was some red leaf lettuce, romaine lettuce. And then
yep.
I also bought some banana peppers. I boiled a couple eggs up that I'm going to slice and put in. I bought some black olives.
All right.
Basically with a salad, y'all. Just, you know, put in whatever you want, whatever you like. Bean sprouts, I've heard of alfalfa sprouts, mushrooms.
Carrots.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
One thing we've kind of gotten away from is eating iceberg lettuce, just simply because there's not much of a nutritional value there. It's pretty much just all water. So we buy a lot of green leaf or red leaf or romaine lettuce and mix all that up in a bowl. And
You're saying that iceberg lettuce is not good?
No, iceberg lettuce is fine, but it doesn't have much nutritional value. There's not a lot of vitamins and minerals and all that good stuff in it for you.
How did you determine this? What brought you to this conclusion?
Research on the internet.
Oh, yeah?
I went to, I think it was craftfoods.com, and was kind of reading through some different literature and found the link that went to this site and went to that site, and I couldn't even tell you what site I was on, actually, but started reading about different, it had different nutritional values of food.
Yeah.
And iceberg lettuce is mainly just, fiber and water, whereas some of the other lettuces, the romaine, the green leaf, the red leaf, have got more minerals and vitamins in them than the iceberg does.
Hmm.
Well, iceberg is a brand name, isn't it? I mean, there's no
Iceberg is more of the type. It's a it's the typical head of lettuce, I guess, that most people buy at the grocery store.
The
type
kind of like the cabbage head.
The type you get on your hamburger at wherever, Burger King,
yeah.
McDonald's,
you
Burger King.
Spread it up everywhere. It's pretty inexpensive and cheap. And
you brought that up, and it was just interesting to me.
Right? Like, when I fix a lettuce like this, for the presentation is a lot, so I will put.
Sure.
So I'll tear up the green leaf lettuce or the romaine lettuce and put that in the middle of the bowl, and then I will take the red leaf lettuce and after I've kind of tore it down, kind of put it around the outside of the bowl.
Okay.
So it looks like you've got a ring of red, of the reddish purple lettuce and then the green lettuce inside.
Yeah.
And then if I'm like in this case, we're going to do some eggs. I'll get the egg slicer out, slice the boiled egg, and then put the slices of the boiled egg in a circle around the top, and just dress up the salad before it gets served.
Make
it look appetizing when it's sitting on the table.
The old egg slicer, what a deal, man!
Oh, the egg slicer is awesome. It's great for, of course, mushrooms and eggs, and if you're making egg salad, you can slice the egg one way and turn it, turn it the opposite direction and slice it again, and boy, you're chopped up pretty much ready for eggs.
Well, since you brought this up, do you know about the Henrietta deal that boils eggs?
No.
Talks to you. Well, this is an egg boiler. I don't know if it was made for blind people, but it will boil 7 eggs at once. You put water in the bottom of it. It's a little electric thing, about probably 6 inches around. You put water in the bottom of it, and you have a little tray that you put these eggs in. You punch a little hole in the end of the egg and put the hole up so the steam can come out of the egg. And when the water dissipates, when there's no more water, it whistles and tells you your eggs are ready.
Really?
Fantastic.
It's called a Henrietta, and it's in every blind catalog I see. It's got one. So I don't remember how much they are, but they're just kind of neat for...
That is cool. Now, I've got one of those rice cookers.
Yeah.
That basically works on the same, premise. Once the water steams out of it, it shuts off.
Yeah,
really.
So, I wonder if an egg would work in that.
I bet it would.
I'll have to try that out and report back next show, y'all.
That's good.
That is really cool.
It's the Blind Handyman Research Institute.
It is.
Right, Blind Handyman Research Department.
Research Department. All right.
And one thing I'm going to make to put on my salad, I'm going to make us a little vinaigrette dressing.
All right.
And for the vinaigrette dressing, it's a half a cup of olive oil.
Okay.
And at the grocery store, I found a nice little vinaigrette jar. It's got a nice open lip on it. And to this also, I'm going to add a quarter cup of red wine vinegar.
All right.
Find that. There it is. Pour that in. Okay. That's in. Now, I've also put some fresh parsley in the jar, along with some garlic salt, two cloves of garlic, and a little bit of pepper.
Okay.
I'm simply going to just shake this up and put it in the refrigerator and wait for dinner. And that's all there is to making a vinaigrette dressing.
Sounds good.
Very simple and very easy. Another great dressing, what we've used before, is half a cup of honey and about a quarter cup of red wine vinegar. And you whisk that together, and it'll thin, the wine vinegar will actually thin out the honey. But that's a real nice, very sweet.
Oh, yeah. So the honey won't be so stiff and so thick, so hard to work with.
Right. It really waters it down. And, of course, the more, if you like the taste of the red wine vinegar, put a little bit more in. If you want it a little sweeter, put a little more honey in, add some salt and pepper to your taste, and you're ready to go. So that's really, really some good stuff. You know, it was interesting on the cooking list. I didn't know it, but honey and natural foods with natural sugars will affect somebody's blood level as much as eating a sugar product or anything will for somebody that's diabetic.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, that makes sense to me, but I just never thought of that with it being a natural sugar.
You'd think it wouldn't. I mean, you'd think that honey would be good for you.
Yeah,
you'd think
I really
so.
Do. In fact, there's even some research that's been done that says if you'll eat honey that's produced in your area, it'll help you with allergies.
You know, I read that somewhere.
Huh.
Yeah, because I guess it's because the bees pollinate, they use the flowers and the local fauna.
There's the answer to your allergy problem, Sean.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, there's bound to be plenty of folks around here.
That make honey.
Oh, you know that if Trady or one of those, something, a peddler or some, one of those little magazines.
You could find some local.
Tons of guys make. How's the bread? How's the bread coming?
The bread is doing, let's check the bread out.
Good bread.
It's rising pretty nicely here.
All right.
It's going to need a little bit more time here rising.
Yeah, it takes a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, it'll take it, I think it takes about an hour or so for it to rise. I was hoping to get it up and kind of broken down before we got off the air, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And again, this bread, once it rises, once it about doubles in size, we're almost there. I'm going to punch it back down, and I'm going to break it off and roll it up into little balls about the size of, golf balls. And I'm going to put them in a greased muffin tin, put three or four of them in per little muffin holder. And as they rise, they'll kind of form together, of course, and when you bake them, it'll come out looking like
a
shamrock design.
Who walked in?
So that'll be cool.
I think we lost Sean. We had somebody came by, I guess, and he had to go take care of him.
Okay.
Anyway, we can probably handle things.
Yeah, we're almost there. We're ready to do the dessert now.
All right, go ahead.
Dessert is going to be sautéed bananas in a praline sauce. And for the praline sauce, it'll be pretty quick and easy. We're going to take a half a cup of maple syrup, and again, it's maple syrup, not pancake syrup.
Yeah.
Put that in a saucepan. Add to it a quarter cup of low-fat milk, and then also a quarter cup of chopped up pecans. What you want to do is bring this to a boil.
Uh-huh.
Once it reaches its boiling point, you want to turn the heat down and let it simmer and let it reduce. Let it simmer for about 15 minutes or so until it reduces. Then, once you get ready for it, you want to take your bananas, peel them. You want to slice them lengthwise
in half
and then cut them in half.
Cut the long slices in half.
Right.
Okay.
And then you want to saute those in a pan with just a tad bit, maybe a teaspoon of olive oil.
You're putting bananas in the pan. You're going to fry bananas.
You're going to fry bananas. And you're only going to leave them in there for about a minute on each side.
Really?
Just long enough to turn them a little bit brown. And once they get sautéed, we're going to take them out, put them on a plate, and then spoon in the praline sauce over the top of them and serve. And that's dessert. So we're working on getting the sauce boiling down here.
All right. This Don missed something. Dale is about to fry bananas.
Fried banana.
Actually, he's not frying them. He's just sauteing them a little bit.
Yeah, we're doing the, we're not really frying, but we're just doing the doing a little saute action on them. You don't want to let them.
What a deal.
You won't fry them up that long.
No.
Let me get the banana peeled here now that our sauce is going.
Sounds like a deal.
You know, it's one thing. My grocery store people, they put all of my vegetables and fruits and everything, and they put them in a bag. Then they tie the bag shut with a knot.
Oh.
One of my pet peeves, I guess. That drives me crazy.
Which makes the bag useless.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned. Because you've got to cut the knot.
That's right.
You have to cut the knot. And so that I hate that when they do that at a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
I wish they'd take them and just, tie a little, I don't know.
Those bags are...
Heck, they got those twist ties there. Let's use those.
Those bags are very useful. I use those as trash can liners, garbage can liners, and to carry garbage out in. But you want a little bag to put three or four things in to take somewhere. Those I keep a thing under the sink with those grocery bags in it.
Oh, they're handy.
Well, you know what I use them for, too, when I can, when we get them and they're in good shape? But we use them for Kelsey, for relief bags.
Picking up his relief bag? Well, sure you could.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, it beats going out and buying little bags.
Got to have something.
clean up after him.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. We're going to put just a little olive oil in the bottom of the pan here. And get this little skillet up to temperature.
All right.
Set this on about medium high.
Okay.
I know, folks, today we've been kind of bouncing all over the place, but all these recipes will be up on the Blind My Smart website.
Yeah.
Cooking in the Dark link. And we've also got some links on there to some other interesting little articles and tidbits that have been posted to the website and posted to the cooking list. You know, one of them is a conversion calculator that's off of a website out of New Zealand that you get a recipe that everything's in metric measurements, you can go to this site, click on the conversion calculator, put in what the measurement is and the metric measurement, and it'll give you what it is. It'll convert it for you into imperial measurement.
What a deal.
Yeah, that'd be handy.
Which is nice. So, something like bake this at so many degrees Fahrenheit or so many degrees Celsius. Hey, what's that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
14 grams of this. Well, hey, how much is that? So
this can be handy. And this is a little thing for sale on somebody's...
No, it's actually free on the name of the website is www.foodlovers.co.nz.
So it's a little piece of software that you...
Yeah,
that
just
you...
a little piece of software that you can link up to really help you out.
All right.
That would be a help.
Kind of nice. One of Joanne from one of our list members from New Zealand sent us that, which was nice. We get a lot of, with so many international, members, we get a lot of recipes that are in metric.
I've seen them. Lots of
dumb Americans. We don't know what that's about.
Yeah, it's good to have a converter to be able to convert those things over quickly.
Sure it is.
So,
well, we're
and y'all hear the bananas?
We are. Yeah, do I listen carefully?
They are.
Yeah, I do a little bit in the background.
Uh huh.
All right. Now these bananas do not take very long, y'all.
I bet they don't.
That boy, they smell great.
I bet they do.
I bet.
Smells like you've got a big old hunk of banana nut bread cooking in here.
Yeah.
That was a tip that got sent in on the cooking list was bananas. If you get some that, turn black or turn brown on you and you're getting ready to toss them, instead of tossing them, just take them and put them in the freezer. They'll freeze and keep. And that way, if you're ever going to want to use, make banana nut bread or anything like that, pull those out and you've got bananas ready to go.
Yeah, because once they're soft, they won't hurt you. I mean, they're not bad for you.
No.
They just don't look good.
They look pretty nasty.
Yeah, they look bad, but they won't hurt you.
Yeah, that's Candace's thing. Yeah. She is one of those people that loves green bananas.
Really?
The greener the taste, the better for her. And
well,
boy,
of course,
I'm just the opposite.
At my age, I don't buy green bananas because they may not ripen. I may not I may not live long enough to see
you
them.
May not see
that's
to
right.
eat them, huh?
That's right.
All right. Okay, the bananas are done, and they kind of do get a little bit soft, y'all, after they, they'll soften up a little bit.
Well, guess what?
What?
We're out of time.
Oh my goodness!
It's time to go.
It is.
We don't have time to review the recipes, but
okay,
they are all on our Cooking in the Dark list.
Cooking in the Dark list. You can get them or go to Blind My Smart, www.blindmysmart.com. Click on the Cooking in the Dark link, and you'll find them right there. And hey, y'all, while you're there, check out the Mousehole Scholarship. The essay contest is on, and it'll close April 30th, but it's open to all visually impaired high school seniors and visually impaired parents with high school senior kids, even if they're sighted. So write us an essay and, man, earn some money for college.
Yeah,
why not? And you might do a little shopping while you're at Blind Mice.
Do a little shopping and let's raise some funds for next year.
I'm happy
to report we earned $800 this year, and I hope that we can earn more. And all the proceeds from Blind My Smart, everything you buy there, goes right to the scholarship fund.
To your scholarship fund.
Very good.
Hey, while you're there, check out the new T-shirts we're carrying. You know, member of the Blind Rifle Association, too much sex causes blindness, all kinds of fun shirts. Brain
really?
Works, eyes don't. Love to have that one. I go back to that Las Haciendas for the manager.
Brain works, eyes don't. All right,
fellas.
We got to go. Thank you, sir.
Hey, you're very welcome, y'all.
Recipes.
Dale Campbell, y'all. Stay out of trouble on that cruise.
And recipes posted on Cooking in the Dark list.
Yeah, recipes on the Cooking in the Dark and at Blind My Smart.
We'll see you next time, Dale.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
Y'all have a good one. Bye.
All right, we are closing out our Blind Handyman show. Don Shaw, thank you, sir. If you hadn't been here, I'd have been by myself, wouldn't I?
Another one down the tube.
We'd have been all alone. Tom Houston, hopefully, will be back next week. Don Patterson will all be back next week. But we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Handyman is recorded at the Little Ranch House Recording Studio, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone number is 936-634-9500. Thank you much. Bye-bye.